White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 481.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we're back again because there's things kind of going on, and so we're going to just do a quick, concise little episode tonight and kind of hit the highlights of what's going on. We're trying to figure out if there's going to be any football at all. We're trying to figure out what the different conferences are doing. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. The main problem, really, aside from the virus, the main problem is college football is so decentralized that, you know, you have different conferences that have different ideas. My wife was asking me a little while ago, that she said, I heard another conference was going to go to conference play only besides the Big Ten. And I said, oh, it's got to be the Pac-12. She's like, yeah. And I said, the conferences have such personalities. They're so predictable, right? The Big Ten is going to kind of lead the way because while they think of themselves in the Big Ten as big and tough, right? They're Michigan and Ohio State. We're big, cold, northern, tough guys. They also think of themselves as Harvard and Yale. That's kind of their thing, right? They're big, tough guys that also happen to be Harvard and Yale, in their opinion. And I said the Pac-12 is kind of the frou-frou conference, so of course they're going to be the next ones to chicken out, you know, and say, oh, we can't do this. And I said, of course, the SEC will be the last ones to go because they have their image to maintain, which is being the tough guys, the best, the greatest, and all that. You know, they each have their own personality. So do you agree that they have their personality, and is this surprising to you?
Yes, that's fair. That's a fair description. But I would say the other part about the Big Ten is, like, nobody wanted to go first and say anything. And I think the other thing is the Big Ten not only went first, they didn't tell anybody a millisecond before they were going to announce
it. Yeah.
I mean, the other conferences literally had no idea that was coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that goes to your decentralization.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, imagine that, like, the NFC West said, we're not going to play football, and the AFC East said, yes, we are. You know, I mean, the NFL has no idea how good they have it in some ways compared to college football. It's just, you know, having that one central office with one person in charge that can make decisions for the whole sport, there's a lot to be said for that, you know? And I mean, it's interesting that college football has that kind of, it's kind of like the federal government versus the states. You know, college football has that state confederational attitude where there's more independence than there is and sovereignty than there is federalism. Whereas, you know, the NFL is more like the federal government where Washington, D.C. is the commissioner and he says jump and they all jump. So you there's what was the SEC doing today that could play into all of this?
So they had a meeting, a face-to-face meeting, to talk about. It was supposed to be planning stuff, but it was really about, they walked with through all kind of the scenarios, the current situation, lots of different alternatives, and their bottom line was they're going to wait until the end of July to make any real hard decisions. But I'm sure that they discussed the pros and cons of going conference only. If they do conference only, how would they shift things around? What would it mean? And, you know, they talked about, I'm sure they went into, you know, what happens if we, you know, have a shortened season, what happens if we don't play, you know, find what are the financial implications of that, what are the football and recruiting implications of all that. So I'm sure they talked about all of that.
So what is for those that don't understand, what is the benefit to going conference only for the programs, for the different college teams?
But the big benefit is that the SEC can set requirements for how often testing has to take place, how players have to be isolated or staff members, and they have the money and the resources to carry out that kind of program. But, you know, one of the first teams Auburn plays in a schedule is Alcorn State,
mm-hmm.
which is a very, you know, it's a smaller, poor African-American college in Mississippi, in Port Gibson, Mississippi, south of Vicksburg, and it's where Steve McNair went.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the money to do that to the same level that Auburn does. So the theory of the conference-only game schedule is that, you know, and I'm not picking on Alcorn State, the Big Ten made this decision first, and they were looking at MAC schools and other smaller mm-hmm. schools being in that situation. And they basically said, we can control what our teams do, but we can't control what these other people do, which might put more risk on our players. Therefore, we're not going to do it. And the other part of the non-conference schedule is the bigger non-conference games, you know, involve travel for a lot of teams. Ohio State was supposed to go to Oregon
mm-hmm.
second week of the season. So, you know, maybe they don't want to get on a plane to fly to Oregon right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, how is it – I mean, it just – getting on a plane to fly to Oregon doesn't seem much worse than getting on a plane in Oregon to fly to Southern California or Arizona or something. I get it in a way, and in a way, it just, I said on Twitter the other day, is it just that all the conferences think all the other conferences have cooties? You know, I mean, it just, like we were going to play North Carolina. Well, don't we think the ACC's codes of quarantine and everything will be just as stringent as the SEC's? I mean, why? It's like we're saying, oh, we're not going to play North Carolina because we think that the ACC is not going to do as good of a job with it. I just, because you got to travel, especially in the SEC, you're going to be maybe traveling from Gainesville to Missouri and back, you know.
Bus. The other piece of the conference only schedule thing is, I think the second part of the plan, which they haven't unveiled yet, my suspicion is that they'll go like whatever, 9 conference games. Basically, like in a row, starting the first week of the season and end, you know, by mid-November, early November.
Well, the idea of adding a conference game, a fellow I know online on one of the Auburn groups kind of broke that down for us, and I thought it was kind of interesting if I can figure out what I did with it.
I got it.
Okay. So I don't remember how I sent it to you, but is there a way I can see it too? I can't remember now. Did I put it in an email, or this is great radio here? But
yeah,
I just
sent it to me.
Okay, well then I'll just. All right. So, but the idea was that it was how, you know, what teams would it even be possible to?
What their analysis was about was, if you know, the SEC, we play an 8-game conference schedule right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if the SEC went conference only and they wanted to add some more conference games to make up for the fact that we weren't going to play non-conference games, what are the potential matchups that theoretically could be scheduled for this year?
Right.
That was the analysis that they did.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So Auburn, if we added the two that they figure we could add and make it work are Tennessee and Vanderbilt. So let me run through the highlights. Alabama would add South Carolina and Florida. In this scenario, Auburn would add Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Florida would add Alabama and Mississippi State. Georgia would add LSU and Texas A&M. That wouldn't be fun. LSU would add Georgia, Kentucky. And let's see, Tennessee would add Auburn and Mississippi State. Texas A&M would add Missouri and Georgia. These all sound fairly tough. I like us adding Tennessee and Vanderbilt about as much as I like anybody's. You know, it's like nobody gets a real easy one there. It's a very well put together list. So of course it has zero chance of happening that way, right?
Yeah, well, I thought it was a cool sounding list, but the other side of that scenario is the SEC is going to play 10 conference games this year. I mean, I think the SEC East teams especially really want to play those ACC games.
Right.
They want to play Georgia Tech and Florida State and, you know, Louisville and those games. So it depends on what the ACC wants to do. But, I mean, the other scenario, again, is the SEC may just say, let's play 8 games. Let's get it over with early. And then, you know, if things are bad in November, then we're done, and we can crown a conference champion by then.
Yeah. Well, let's see. He said, my guess is the SEC will not try to add conference games. If they try to go to a 10-game schedule, adding two games per team, you'd have to start on September 19th to have enough weeks to complete the games and have a week off per team. That's possible. I think it's more likely they will keep the eight games already scheduled, four home and four away. Oh, okay. He had a list of, like, the teams that are not. Okay, I got it. So, I don't know. What do you think? We change our view on this, it seems like, every week because things are just kind of up in the air. But let's kind of put our verdict on it and move along. What do we want to have happen if we can't have the regular schedule? How would we like it to be done?
Well, I mean, if we can't have regular
full
schedule and we play everybody we're supposed to play, which,
throw out North Carolina, throw out the other three non-conference. That leaves us with eight SEC teams. Now, do you want to just go with those eight? Do you want to add two SEC teams? Do you want to add one SEC team? Do you want to find some way to make a deal with the ACC that we can play North Carolina and Georgia can play Tech and Florida can play Florida State and Kentucky can play Louisville and Clemson can play South Carolina? I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think, again, I think the SEC's, let's think about it from where does the money come from? CBS and ESPN want there to be those big SEC games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want the Auburn-Alabama game to happen. They want the Alabama and Georgia are playing this year. They want that game to happen. You know, they want the cocktail party to happen and Auburn LSU. And so I think you play, and this is just me, I'm just off the top of my head here. I think you play the eight conference games. Maybe you give everybody a week off in there and you finish in early November and stop.
What, you give everybody a week off in the eight games, you mean, or after?
Yes. So during the eight games, everybody gets 1 week off, but you condense the schedule forward, right?
Okay.
So you redraw the dates when everybody plays so that, we're going to be playing an SEC team week one.
Right.
Say it's right now our current SEC opener is Ole Miss. Say we're playing Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin week one. We only play SEC teams. Everybody gets a week off somewhere in there. I'd like it to be, whatever before we play Georgia, LSU, or Alabama, but
right. No
take
kidding.
Whatever I could get.
No kidding.
And I'm just thinking about the players at that point. 8 weeks in a row with no break is a little much.
It's tough. Yeah, you do need a break somewhere, that's for sure. But, so, all right, do you have an SEC championship game? Or you just play those eight games and say, all right, we did it, we're done. Do you have any bowl games? Does it amount to anything other than just having a regular season champion and that's it, Do you have a playoff?
Are you going to go to a bowl game?
No, but I'm not going to go to a regular season game either. But that doesn't seem to be stopping them.
No, but I was just saying, I'm a little skeptical there are going to be bowl games in December, January. I think it's more likely there won't be, big in-person crowd bowl games. Maybe they play an SEC championship game with nobody but teams in the Georgia Dome, the weekend of Thanksgiving or whatever.
What's the purpose of moving the games up? Are they thinking it's going to be worse in November, December than it is now?
Yes.
Is that possible? I mean, it's pretty dang bad now.
Yes, it's possible.
I just feel like, maybe it'll be better come September than it is now in a couple of months.
Hey, listen, I would say it this way. If it's better in September, we'll be talking about football. If it's not better in September, we won't be talking about football.
Yeah, man. People had to go and mess everything up. We knew you had one job, people.
Well,
don't be stupid and spread the germs. You had one job. Don't be stupid and spread the germs. But oh no. Oh, you couldn't be bothered to do this. You couldn't be bothered to do that. It was too much of an insult to you to do this. It was too much big government overreach to do that. So guess what? Dang it. It just ticks me off. It really ticks me off. But hey, you know what? People didn't have to wear a freaking mask, so they win, right?
And we reopened bars and fraternity houses and that kind of stuff, and that's where a lot of stuff is happening.
So for 15 minutes, you got to go have a beer at a bar, and now there might not be any football. Well played, stupid people. Well,
blame yourself.
That's right.
Please clap.
Yes.
I don't. I got one thing. Like, I think the Phil Steele annual goes on sale this week, and I'm 100% going to go buy one just so I can have it in case there's not a football season.
So this year it's a fantasy football magazine.
I mean, I want it just because I want to read it, but and it made me sad to say that because this is the time of year when I normally get the preseason magazines and get all excited.
Yeah. Are there going to be the other ones, you think? I heard an interview with him, and he was saying that it was going to be at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. That was about it. But
yeah, he's still got them online.
But are there other magazines, you think, the Athlon and Lindy's and all that, going to come out?
I don't know.
They're like fantasy football magazines this year. It's just so weird. It's all so surreal. I thought you were about to say you wanted to disassociate yourself from my statements.
Well, again, you feel how you feel.
I just feel like we should have, if football is on the line, I'm willing to do anything it takes. You want me to wear a fruit salad on my head every day? Give me that bowl and I will put that fruit salad on my head every day to get football, okay? So I'm not arguing politics or individual rights or any of that crap. I'm just saying if they tell you you can have football if you stand on one foot for an hour a day in your basement, I'm on one foot for an hour a day in my basement. I will do whatever it takes. I will not whine like a whiny little you-know-what and complain and cry about it if that's what it takes to get me football. It seems very simple to me, but, you know, that's just me. Well, in other news, but you know what other people say about that, though?
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
And having no football is better than communism, I guess. So, in some worlds, I'm not sure. Let's see. We talked about that? Cam is in the news, John. Big news flash. Cam Newton is still in the NFL. He was 3 months on the bench waiting to find out where he's going to play. And where is he going to play, John? That doesn't sound like you're much of a fan.
I hate the Patriots, man. I mean, we could have talked about this a couple weeks ago when he signed the deal, or a week ago, whatever. But I hate the Patriots. And so, you know, I'm a Falcons fan. I grew up in Atlanta. I'm still bitter about the stupid Super Bowl that the Falcons blew and lost the biggest lead ever to Tom Brady and them. And I mean, I'm sick of the Patriots because they win all the time and I want somebody else to win. And so I was very excited. I mean, I get it. Stidham was there going to be their quarterback. So their two quarterbacks are Cam and Jared Stidham.
Man. Yeah, that's interesting. I've said that's the, you know, if you told me, oh, Stidham was going to be the starter, but they're bringing another quarterback, I'd have been so mad. The one thing you could say that would ameliorate my fury is they're bringing another quarterback, and it's Cam Newton. Oh, okay, that's cool. That's all it took.
And this is the other part that's going to make me mad, is that, you know, I hate the Patriots, but I respect them because they are football agnostic, that Belichick and his staff literally don't care about a scheme or a system or whatever. They'll use one and throw it away and pick up another one if it works and if it matches their talent. And so I think for years they, you know, Belichick and Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, have wanted to do more mobile QB zone read kind of stuff and you know, mobile quarterback passing game stuff, and couldn't do it because Tom Brady is the least mobile quarterback in the league now. He's 40.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a slow 40-year-old. So, and now they have Cam. So they have this whole, you know, bag of tricks they can do. And Baltimore did a lot of cool stuff last year with Lamar Jackson and their offense and the way they ran things. And I think you're going to see the Patriots do a lot of that kind of stuff with Cam and be very creative and cool with him. And that's going to make me, you know, like what they're doing, and I'm going to be bitter about it. and because they're going to use him much more wisely than Carolina did,
yeah,
and effectively. Well. And then Cam's going to get a big, you know, they're going to win a bunch of games and win a couple of playoff games, and Cam's going to get a big multi-year contract with somebody else. That's what's going
on. Let me just quickly tell you my Patriots deal. I couldn't care less what team. In fact, I'm excited he's going to the Patriots because they act like you said, they actually know what to do with him and know what they're doing. There's a plenty of other teams he could go to that I'd be like, well, there's Joe Namath with the Rams, you know, or whatever. So that ain't going to mean anything. That's O.J. Simpson with the 49ers. That ain't going to amount to anything, you know. So But this has me excited. And here's the deal. I was a Falcons fan from birth because they were the closest NFL team to my city in Alabama for my whole life when I lived there. And so I was always for the Falcons, and they were never any good, and they continually disappointed me, and I just kind of ignored them. And then they got to the Super Bowl once in the 90s, and that didn't work out. And they went again. And when they went a couple of years ago, I got fully on board. I'm like, it's
I'm going to go back to that. They went to the Super Bowl in the 90s, and their defensive team captain got arrested the night before the Super Bowl, like out on the town looking for prostitution. So.
Yes. The guy that had just won Father of the Year in the NFL or something. Okay. I remember. I lived in Atlanta then. And so I got totally on board the bandwagon. I got me a Falcons t-shirt. I was just like, man, I've been a Falcons fan my whole life. I finally get to show it off. I'm so excited. And I was watching that Super Bowl, and this is a team that had done nothing but disappoint and frustrate me my entire life. They even, you know, when I lived there the last time, they had Michael Vick, and that all fell apart. That was really exciting, man. I tuned in the Falcons every week just to see Michael Vick do some Michael Jordan-like thing on the football field. And then that, of course, went to crap. And so when they were winning that Super Bowl, I'm like, finally, at last. And then you know what happened, right? And when that happened, I said, well, I burned my Falcons shirt. I said, I will never, ever, ever, never, ever cheer for this team again. They are dead to me. I couldn't care less. And I'm done with them. And so the Patriots beat the Falcons. I don't care. It's the Patriots. They're competent. They win. And they got Cam. And I hope Cam kicks butt. And I hope they win 7 Super Bowls with him. And I'll celebrate them as Cam Newton Super Bowls. That's all I care about. So, let's see. So I did see that his there was an article today that his contract is very incentive laden. Mm-hmm. That he gets a lot more money if they do well than if they don't. If he was with almost any other team, I'd be like, oh, that was really clever. They did the Ricky Williams thing on him, you know, and got him to sign for the minimum. And then, oh, but if you get all these, you know, achieve all these things, and he won't maybe. But again, with the Patriots, I have every confidence he's going to get a lot of those incentives.
And part of the problem was for him, there wasn't a big market for him. He's been coming off a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
And the other part is I think some teams, you know, had younger quarterbacks, like they just drafted a quarterback in the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to bring Cam in because the team would rally around Cam and not the young player they're trying to build around for the future.
Yeah.
So they purposely didn't do that. You know, San Diego's.
Except the Patriots did. They had a young quarterback they were grooming, and they said, well, hold on, Jarrett. Sit down. It's not your time. You keep holding that clipboard, Jarrett. You do that very well. So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm very excited for Cam. You had a note here, and I thought it was interesting. You wanted to talk about Auburn football media. What's on your mind there, sir?
Just there's been some changes in the landscape over the last month or two, and I wanted to put the question out to our listeners of, like, you know, assuming we have football, where do you get your Auburn football information from now going forward? Because and what I was referring to was like, well, Brandon Marcello's left and gone national.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
Justin Ferguson's been laid off by The Athletic.
That's sad.
Very sad. And so now what, you know, those were two of the main sources that I read and listened to about
absolutely
Auburn. So, you know, outside of them, what podcast do you listen to? Who do you follow on Twitter? Where do you read things about Auburn football? I mean, I read College Magnolia and follow a bunch of those people. And I listen to, you know, Jay Tate's podcast. And I've, you know, mm-hmm. they've kind of restarted Brandon's old podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Keith Niebuhr and Justin Hokanson on there the other day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What was your initial thought when I put this question out there?
Yeah, no, I really miss Brandon. He is so good, so awesome, that I'm really going to miss having him in part of our daily conversation, basically. That's too bad, though he's still out there. And Justin is cool. I do listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of audiobooks. I listen to Jay Tate a lot of the time, his show, although it's a little frustrating. I don't want to be critical or whatever, but just it's not my favorite because when they talk about Auburn football, they're very informative and well-informed and very interesting. They just spend a whole lot of time talking about other stuff. Now, you know, sometimes we do that too, but that's just us. And if people like it, they do. And if they don't like it, they don't. But the stuff that they talk about, plus they have sponsors they talk about a lot. Where fortunately you and I don't, I have a note here. I need to start remembering to say, our show is one of the only ones you don't hear advertising on. You just hear the names of the people that listen to it that help us stay on the air. So our show is entirely funded by our listeners. Our show is on the air because of our listeners. We don't have to talk about wing companies and liquor and beer and gambling and all that other stuff you get. Because our listeners take care of all that for us, and one of their several rewards is they don't have to listen to ads. But yeah, so again, the Jay Tate Show is it's good, but it's not always my. I do a lot of fast forwarding, put it that way.
I do that also.
Yeah, there's other I guess like you said, the other podcast, the one that Brandon used to run was good. That had I loved that it had Philip Marshall on it. He was always entertaining, but that one's not on as much now. So I know there's other new podcasts that have popped up lately, and there's some that have been around a while that have gone away. But we're
on Auburn.
I don't really listen to that. There's that new show that they tweet at us a lot. That recruiting show, I think it is. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I don't know who that guy is or anything about him. But I mean, people seem to like him. So, and they have a lot of good guests. I mean, they've really made a big push to get a lot of guests, and more power to them. So that's great. So we just, you know, we've never really made a big push for guests because we have our little circle of people that come on every year, and we're content with it for the most part. But we're more of a conversational show than a big, you know, big breaking news show. But I guess I just look at whatever people are retweeting, and I follow a few, and then I do go to AL.com. It's funny. It's like people used to say about Playboy. I just read it for the articles. I just read AL.com for the articles. I try not to ever go into the... Well, they don't have comments anymore, do they? They finally woke up. They finally woke up at AL.com and realized that their comment section served no purpose other than to let Alabama fans jump into any conversation about anything and talk about the Tide.
Yeah.
AL.com could have an article about a cure for cancer, and there'd be a guy going, "That's almost as exciting as the Tide." And be like, "Oh my God!" So
somebody on that team went to Alabama. We're going to count that as another tough.
Up, cancer national championship number 73. There it is. Good Lord, it's true. It's true though. So yeah, I don't know.
Never read the comments.
No, I always used to say that reading the comments on AL.com was like rubbing broken glass in your eyes. They're gone now, as far as I know, so it doesn't even matter.
They're gone.
I know. Well, the other sources, I mean, I don't go to the Athletic. If I was going to, I certainly am not going to now. It's been a while since... I guess if folks out there know of some that we're missing, you know, give us a shout. Let us know. Drop us a tweet.
I still have a subscription to Athletic for other sports stuff. And they wrote an Auburn preview recently, but the LSU beat writer, Brody Miller, wrote it. So, that's the only Auburn-related article they've written in whatever.
Wow. That's crazy. I've been a member of the AU Sports email group since 1995. So people on there often will post links to things worth reading. And that's one of the main places I get my stuff is on there. And in fact, one of the guy that we were just quoting the SEC schedule ideas earlier, he's written a good chunk of new material for our We Believed the book. So, you know, I mentioned before that when that book comes out, there'll be a lot in it that people haven't heard on the audio version, and that's going to be a big chunk of it. Is he's written some good historical analysis stuff. He knows the history stuff better than you and I do because he goes back further. So I think people are really going to enjoy that. So, well, let's pause for just a second because I do, as I said earlier, have to thank the fine folks that keep the show on the air. Patreon this month has changed how they display the patrons, and it no longer shows me the entire name, which is really a pain. I'm stretching it out as far on the screen as I can, but it just doesn't want to show me the whole name. So I'm going to do the best I can. Also, this is interesting. It doesn't display the names of people who haven't been processed this month for whatever reason. So if you don't hear your name, drop me an email or a tweet or contact Patreon and find out what's going on, because we certainly don't want to leave anybody off that deserves to be mentioned. But if they're not showing you on here, it means that they have an issue. You know what I mean? They have an issue with you. I don't. So, you know, that's the deal. All right. So for as little as $1 a month, you can join our Patreon family, the AU Wishbone Patreon family, and help keep our shows on the air. Just go to www.auwishbone.com, and our current patrons, as always, include Matthew Flowers, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Bart Lindsay, Bradley Blackman, Brian Gray, Chris Usher, Gary Grant, Logan Chilton, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Stephen Thompson, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Tom Anderson, Willie Carden, William Glenn Matthews. Again, some of these it cuts off the end, then I have to make sure I have it right. Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Christopher Stewart, Clay Henson, Clinton Stewart. See, it's rearranged the order, too, because Chris and Clinton used to be together. Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Evers, David Hegler, Emmanuel Seaman, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, James Greenwell, I believe our newest member, Joel Beckham, John McCune, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Timothy, WDE Ritchie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy, Alex Nguyen, and Blake Heron. All right, I made it through the first little clump. On to the second group, Cato the Barner, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Danny Flack, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Don Zederman, Di Bama, another new one, Earl Ricks, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Ross, Russell Milling, Shannon Butson, Sarah Hines, Shane Bailey, Stephen Houston, Tony Perry, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Brandon Smith, Chris Camo, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Donnie Reynolds, Ivor Evans, James Taylor, Jason Albrick, Jeremy Minton, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, Justin Bean, Lawrence Kane, Mark Squire, Mick Vijakana, Nicholas Craig, Patrick Williams, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, and then our last little tiny tail end is Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, Stephen Wyatt, Stephen Schuster, Trevor Johnson, Ward Am Wade, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brent Rumble, and Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. And you did notice, by the way, that they were in a different order tonight. Again, what's been happening is Patreon went in and just like redid the entire thing I'm able to see of our patrons using like this new spreadsheet format. And so they've reordered everything. So there you go. Go to www.auwishbone.com and sign up. Your various things that you can receive are there. You can take part in our various activities like March Madness, if there ever is that again, and Bowl Pick'em, if there is ever that again, and all the various things. But mainly you're just showing your support for the show, doing your part, and we appreciate it. All right. I guess I will click the little button here.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. So what's cooking in the listener mail this week?
All right. First question from Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Writes at auwishbone@gmail.com and says, is the 2017 team one of the most underrated? I argue it is, at least in terms of talent. If you look through the starters, there's not a position without a player who is either drafted or was really good in college, but not quite NFL material. 2010 and 2013 were great teams, but had glaring flaws on either side of the ball. 2017 really didn't have any flaws, just more or less ran out of gas.
Yeah. Well, let me see. They lost the bowl game going backwards. They lost the SEC championship game. Who else did they lose to? Was that the team that lost to LSU?
Yes. And where were they took their foot off the gas.
Wow. Okay. That was it, wasn't it?
Yes.
They went 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, 11-3. How many games did they win? 10-4, 11-3.
They lost one regular season game. So they were 11-1 in the regular season. Then they lost two more, so then they were 11-3.
No, they're 10-4. They lost somebody else. They lost to somebody else. They lost to Clemson. Second game, September 9th, They lost number three, Clemson.
Right.
So if we had played Southern Miss or something that year, I always say this, right? We'd have had one loss and probably be in the national championship conversation after we beat Georgia and Alabama. We were number six both weeks. No, we were number six and beat – we were number 10 and beat Georgia. We were number six and beat Alabama. They were number one. Both of them were number one the week we beat them. It's crazy. Yeah, I agree. That team, I mean, they had an unfortunate schedule playing Clemson in one of those great Clemson years. They had to play at LSU, and things never go well for us down there. And then, of course, Kerryon got hurt before the Georgia game, the second Georgia game. So, yeah, that is a season that could have been really, really, really – it was still very special, but I agree. It was it is probably kind of underrated just because they had four losses, but
It is. I think it's underrated, really, really good team. And I think I think part of – we talked about this. They played at such a high level in those games where they beat Georgia and Alabama that very few teams ever play at that level.
Yeah.
And I think – I said this before and I'll say it again. Like, no teams at other conferences ever had to play, like, three top five teams in a row, including a revenge match like Georgia, Alabama, Georgia.
Golly.
And so I just think, like, you know, nobody in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 is playing that at the end of the season. So I think that really, took a lot out of that team that way.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, next question comes from Dan Thompson, who says, what do y'all think about a March Madness-style football tournament starting in February?
Well, now, are we playing the season and then doing that, or are we just waiting till February to play football at all?
I mean, I think there's been some discussion about playing football in the spring.
A little bit. I don't know.
I mean, it's an option like everything else is an option.
Right.
It's crazy to think about, but it is what it is. But I don't think they would do a March Madness thing. I think if they played football in the spring, they'd try to have the season.
Yeah. Do you think that what's going to happen with basketball? Nobody's said a word about that yet.
No, I mean, I think it's not just football. There's other fall sports as well. And then you get into the winter sports like basketball. I mean, right now, I don't think there's going to be fans, I can tell you that.
It's unbelievable.
Or very little fans.
Can you imagine two seasons ruined by this?
Mm-hmm.
Take out the postseason of the past season and then take out the beginning of the next one. And then who knows beyond that? This is ridiculous. Absolutely crazy. But there we are. Yeah, I mean, because it normally starts like what, November?
Yep.
So
we normally have a home basketball game before,
Georgia.
Just like we did last year, we went to a basketball game before the Georgia game.
That's right, and they'd already played a game or two before that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, so that's why I'm thinking if they're not playing football in November, how are they going to play basketball? They're certainly not going to have people inside the arena. I mean,
not big crowds of people. No,
I'm saying you can socially distance in the football stadium. You're outdoors in the fresh air, and you just separate people out a little bit. But in a basketball arena, that place is close and tight.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at night when there's a lot of air recirculation. You know, it's heavy and tight in terms of the atmosphere, and that's not what you. That's not conducive. You'd rather be on a windswept plane by yourself than in a tight, confined, humid environment like that. So,
with 9,000 other people.
Oh man, yeah.
All right. Next question is from Rusty Owens. Now, I want to get back to Dan's question for a second. The idea of a March Madness-style football tournament. Again, I love the idea of an 18 playoff down the road where.
Mm-hmm.
You seed everybody, you just go. I think that's going to be awesome when it happens. So.
We could just switch everything to soccer, and then A, you could do it all outside, right, fresh air, and B, nobody would really come anyway, so they wouldn't have to worry about the crowds being a problem. This way to go.
All right. Last question is from Rusty Owens, who says, I don't think we're going to have football this season. I have another idea for content. Vane is acquainted with the What If comics.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to take various scenarios that didn't happen and speculate on what would happen if it did.
Oh. Well, you know, we did a chapter in Decades of Dominance called the 10 greatest games that were never, the Auburn games that were never played.
Yes.
So
maybe we should bring that back as an episode. down the road, especially if there's not football. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, yeah, we can take that. I mean, we're talking about updating that book anyway in a couple of years, so we can kind of go ahead and do a preview and just get that chapter out and see what games we want to add to it and what would happen and kind of simulate them. Yeah. By the way, I think it's so funny that I was saying you longtime listeners remember, I was saying like 2 or 3 years ago, you know, that maybe the answer to injuries in football, long-term injuries and debilitating mental problems and everything, was to do it all like CGI, you know, like virtual and everything, or with robots. And, you know, sure enough, as soon as the coronavirus hit, we get iSports, you know, we start getting iRacing, everything goes to virtual and the video game world and everything. I'm like, maybe that's the answer. Is it like in the future, sporting events like this will be played all online, and it'll be the university not that has the best, you know, 300-pound linemen, it'll be the university that has the biggest video game geeks are the ones that dominate.
Yeah, eSports could do it. Listen, while you're talking about that, I just want the freaking college football video game back. I can play that this fall.
Yeah, I mean, imagine what that would look like in a couple of years if like that was all we had, like if this kept on going, God forbid, and all we had was simulated virtual stuff. And so they, you know, instead of playing like the 2014 graphics, they actually went in. Because did you see any of the iRacing, like Formula One or IndyCar or any of that?
No.
Huh?
No, I haven't seen.
Okay, the Formula One, it looks like you're watching an actual race. I mean, you have to kind of watch it for a minute, in my opinion. You kind of have to watch it for a minute to catch any little telltale signs that it's a computer game and not like feed from a camera at a racetrack. You know, they never do the crowds really well, right? Because that's just too complicated. But as long as it's showing the cars on the tracks, it's got the shadows, it's like HD, you know, 4K, it looks perfect. And I'm like, imagine what a real hard, you know, big time, if they put $1 billion into it, what a college football simulation would look like nowadays or in like 2 years. That would just be mind-blowing. So you'd be going like, wait, is this real football or am I watching a video game here? I think that's where we're headed, honestly, at least in terms of, you know, being able to do both, hopefully, not just...
Sure.
So, all right. Well, I guess our last little bit here has a slow beginning.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
So is there anything going on SEC-wise? We haven't talked about this in a few weeks.
Well, the big news today is that Georgia's second transfer quarterback was declared immediately eligible. JT Daniels, transfer from Southern Cal, was declared immediately eligible. They already had the transfer from Wake Forest who declared eligible. So they have two experienced quarterbacks who transferred in after From and left, Justin Fields left. And they're both immediately eligible. So quarterback controversy at Georgia. This guy, the Southern Cal guy, has multiple years of eligibility left, I believe. The guy from Wake Forest, Jamie whatever, he only has 1 year left.
Oh, okay. So why would did the USC guy come in thinking he's at least going to get 1 year, if not two?
I think when he transferred, I think everybody thought, well, he'll have to sit out a year.
Okay, so he was just like going to sit out. He thought he was going to sit out a year and not even be in competition with the Wake Forest guy.
Yes.
So now he does. That's actually kind of funny. It means they got to burn one of them and not even use him probably.
Yes.
All right. By the way, I thought of another person I do listen to sometimes. I use YouTube a lot more than I used to now for various things, like David Land for racing news and stuff. And Josh Pate, have you seen Josh Pate's show on YouTube?
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay, he's got that show called The Late Kick, and he does videos on YouTube for 24/7 that are very like Sports Center looking, very very nicely produced. He's really good. He's in Columbus, Georgia, and you get the sense he's not necessarily an Auburn guy, but he's very positively aligned toward Auburn. Like he's very fair to everybody, but I would check that out. He does some pretty good stuff on there. He's just by himself. He doesn't talk to anybody else really, but he has a lot of good analysis and always has some interesting points. So I'd throw that one out there as a source I've been using lately too. Any other around the SEC news?
other than the scheduling stuff we talked about earlier. And
well, I remembered what made me think of Josh Pate was that he was listing the best he was ranking the 14 head coaching jobs and the 14 programs. Like, he was going through and saying, this is the order of how prestigious, how, you know, good right now these programs are. And what I thought was really interesting was, guess who he had as number one?
He probably put Georgia one.
Georgia, yeah. Alabama number two. And he said it's because up until recently, Georgia was never willing to make the same commitment to being at the top that Alabama is, right? That when Saban showed up, he said, I need this, 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 and this. And Alabama said, yes, sir. Whereas every Georgia coach up until now has said, I need this, 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 this. And Georgia's been like, well, I don't know, you know. And they said that basically with Kirby Smart, Georgia said, all right, you can have whatever Alabama has and whatever you need. And so because of that, Georgia's other, you know, Georgia's always had advantages over Alabama in football. They've just never really been able to take advantage of them that much. But he was saying that basically now Georgia is competing on a par with Alabama. And when you throw in their advantages, like a larger population, more players, you know, closer to Athens and everything and so forth, closer to Florida even really, that it starts to swing that pendulum toward Georgia. What do you think about that?
I think they haven't won a national title since 1980.
Oh, for a muse of fire.
Please clap.
There we go. All right, John, any last thoughts before we get out of here for this week?
I think I've left it out there, Ben. There's nothing to say after that one.
I think you're right. I think we are done. All right, well, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.